Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the what episode is this? 453rd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. Look, I lost track at 450.
You stopped caring after 450 is what you said. You had your height of popularity, then you're like, I'm out.
That's it. No one cares about 500. They only care about 450.
I guess.
I'm your host, SBJ. Will, here with me.
I am prepared to once again launch intense internet drama over the most meaningless factors of human life once again. But I do have a food challenge for Steve this week.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, are we saving that for later?
I was going to let Greg go first.
Oh, okay. Greg is here.
I am here. I'm starting a new podcast, a Loop Hero podcast. There will only be one episode. It will be deleted from your feed after you listen to it. And then a week later, the exact same episode will be started.
Oh, fun. Interesting. Sounds like time travel.
I'm sure somebody's actually already done that, right?
What? You stole my idea. Maybe? Adding you to the lawsuit. Loop Hero is such a good game, though. I am...
Is it a platformer?
It's really hard to classify. It is a rogue-like game, but not really.
I'm out.
It's a deck builder. It's more of a deck builder.
Oh, but I love deck builders.
But like roguelike, once you've decided to leave your loop, you only keep X amount of what you discovered in that loop, and then you can build new decks with what you unlock. It's hard to... really compartmentalized, but I love that game so much.
So it's card-based programming where you are programming the actions of your character to survive in an environment.
Yes.
Okay.
Sort of.
I have so many games to play.
I know,
lately.
But look, this one hooked me, and it's really, really good, and the graphics are really cute.
If I ever finish Puzzle Quest, remind me to add. Yeah, I know. Game provides infinite joy, so that's a hard one. Okay, food challenge for Steve this week.
Food challenge. Welcome to It's Super Food Challenge.
We are going to the fantastic restaurant in Eagan, Minnesota called Bay Leaf Indian Cuisine, which has an extensive and delicious menu.
Mm-hmm.
What do you order when you go for Indian food?
I've been to Indian food restaurants.
This is a start. I was like, that's never happened. I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is, but I'm eager to see if I'm right.
You could get a chaat. Oh, I like a chaat. A vindaloo, a tikka masala, a tandoori, maybe some delicious biryani.
I apologize for my ignorance. When I was at TwitchCon, I got roped into going to a restaurant where I was not familiar with the menu, and you had to sit on the floor on pillows, and then you washed your hands. They washed your hands in front, and then there was supposed to be belly dancing. And again, I'm not sure what kind of restaurant this was. That didn't happen. Like, they didn't do it on Friday, or I'm not sure if we went on Friday or Saturday, but they were like, oh, we do those on Sundays or something like that. I'm not sure what I ordered, but I didn't love it. I want to say there was rice involved and there was chicken involved, which is probably what I would order at an Indian restaurant. I would say point me to whatever chicken, because every restaurant has chicken.
I mean, it's extensive when you're having non-vegetarian Indian food, yes. Extensive chicken options.
I would say that most likely he got a chicken biryani.
Yeah.
But probably would have also potentially gotten a tandoori chicken. Because there's not a lot of spice. It's just grilled chicken with Indian spices on it, really. It is the most safe entry into Indian food.
I can see Steve as a tandoori chicken
kind of dude. For sure.
I will, a little shout out, if the fine owners of Bay Leaf Indian Cuisine in Eagan are listening, could you add a little more spice to the medium spicy? Because I got nothing off that. I don't want to have to go to full hot.
You got to keep some spice at home so you can... spice it up yourself.
Just so the next time you go for Indian food, Steve, because when you move out here, we're going for Indian at least once a month. The biryani is the fried rice of Indian food.
Yeah. you're starting internet drama with that one. So you're on your own. I'm not even going to try to correct it. I'm just going to be like,
Greg,
sure.
what's your go-to for Indian food?
It depends on how rice-based I'm feeling. So if I really just want a rice dish, I'm going to get biryani. I will get. I usually will get a korma. I like kormas a lot.
I usually myself just roll the dice, and anything that I can get with either goat or lamb, that's what I'm going to go for.
Yeah, I mean, I often go chicken, but like if I've eaten a lot of chicken, then I will branch out into a wide variety, whatever's on the menu, really. Like, oh, that sounds good. There's a really good place that does a buffet that, sadly, we have not been able to do said buffet.
All right, we're taking Steve there.
But I will say this. Last Sunday, prior to this recording, we ordered a bunch of food from them and created our own buffet in our house. We ordered way too much food. Set it all out on the counter and pretended we were at a restaurant.
Well, speaking of pretending, we got some Pokemon news. And to pretend no more, Greg.
I mean, I'm going to say this has been a bad 25 year. The news is slow and dumb.
No, this is the perfect transition. To pretend no more, following me?
No.
Diantha sure. has been added to Pokemon
I get it. I get it now. And I understand. This is the biggest news of the past, like, 2 years, right? Masters has been around for 2 years?
They just celebrated 1.5.
One and a half.
Okay.
We're going to start off with the Pokemon Master news. This is off pocketgamer.com. Pokemon Masters EX latest update welcomes Champion Iris with Hydreigon to Paseo. And alongside the duos, they can expect another event battle, which is the impending Kalos champion Diantha and Gardevoir, which will... When is she supposed to arrive on the 31st, I think?
Yeah. The banner is not up yet, and I've been saving my gems to pull on said banner.
Yes. Iris is available now.
Okay. I have recently gotten into regularly playing a gacha game. It is Pokemon Masters Genshin Impact.
So
I have begun to start to understand some of these terms that you guys use, because there are banners in Genshin Impact, and it's like, because it shows you a little rectangle, and it's like, if you do this one, these are the things you won't get.
Mm-hmm. You will not get them. There is a minor chance you'll get them, and it's minor at best.
Well, and then, like, Venti is promoted, and it's like, I keep pulling on that one. I don't understand why it's called pulling, because I'm not pulling anything but buying that banner.
It's pulling, like, a physical card game term, like you're pulling from a pack.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I think, the slot machine you're pulling.
Oh, man. Oh, you're right.
You're pulling a lot.
That's possible. But, now that you say that, because I bought two packs of... I bought three packs of Adventure Time yesterday. I didn't get any good pulls.
Wait.
Now, that you say that.
How much money have you put into Genshin Impact?
Genshin Impact? Zero.
Greg, how much money did you put in?
To Genshin Impact? Zero. I didn't play it for very long because the controls bothered me. Like,
Oh,
Secret. I was playing it on the iPad, and it was just like, I can't.
100% Secret. Get yourself an Xbox controller, pair it to your iPad, play it through the Xbox controller. It's a whole other fantastic experience.
That is putting money into the game, buying an Xbox controller.
But you could use that Xbox controller for other stuff. I never finished my question.
You could use a PlayStation controller, too.
True, true. But he also doesn't have one of those. Why are there like 30 different currency things? 400.
Hey, Masters only has two, and they named them exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean, Masters is the worst by far.
But what's the point?
So, I mean, in general, the point is mostly it's one currency is paid and one you can get for free. And then, depending on the game, the currencies will break down to what you can pull in-game from the banner based on those
Okay, so Genshin Impact, right, it has, like, these two kinds of fates, whatever.
Yep.
And it's, like, some banners you get with the intertwined fate, and mm-hmm. some banners you can get with the acquaint fate, and you have to, like, do different things to get the two different... Can I just... Why? Yeah. Why?
So, Masters has what's called a Fair Scout banner, which is what yep. Iris is under right now, and all that means... So, normally, a banner in Masters is a 7% chance of getting a 5-star, and when it's Fair Scout, it's a 10% chance of getting a 5-star. And if you... They changed this at the year anniversary. If you do a 10-pull... You get a bonus 11th pull, which Greg and I speculated that we weren't sure they were going to keep back in the day. And they did decide to keep it, which was nice.
They did, because they did not guarantee a 4-star. Because their pull system is still pretty garbage. But at least if you pull 10, there's now at least a reason to pull 10, whereas there just wasn't any reason to pull a 10 before.
Iris is a 5-star tech sync pair, and it has access to Breaking Swipe, which lowers the opponent's attack. Snarl, which lowers the Pokemon's special attack. And then Hydreigon's Sync move, which is Triple Threat Dragon Rush, which does more damage based on how much the target's stats have been lowered. I've been told that Iris is good, and Iris is really good if you also have blue with Blastoise. Mm-hmm. Because Blastoise is very bulky and defensive, and Iris lowers everything, so you live forever. is the pairing. I would assume that people would want to probably save for Diantha and Gardevoir.
I mean, well, is that just because Diantha has been on the loading screen for since day one, and it's now a year and a half later?
Diantha is the best champion.
Well, I mean, Iris was also a great champion. Spoiler.
Yeah, great champion, but not the best champion.
Oh, that's like my favorite story that's ever come from this podcast is when you were getting Black and White 2 and you were in the checkout line and Irene picked up the guide and like scrolled through it and you saw that Iris was the champion as a spoiler.
That was like the one Pokemon game I tried to like not look at any spoilers for, and it really bit me in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At this point, I just look at all the spoilers now. I'm not safe anyways. There's also, so the other hype around Diantha is there's not a lot of fairy type attackers in the game.
There aren't.
And so Diantha has also been speculated / I'm sure data mined at this point that she's going to be the best fairy type attacker. But we'll wait till she arrives.
I mean, yeah, because like Xerneas is just a tank. It just stays alive. That thing wrecks house.
So in competitive Pokemon, what category does fairy type typically fall into?
In like VGC?
Sure.
Oh, it's up there. It's very, very good. So the reason
But is it a tank, more of a tanky? Is it more of a support? Is it more of a, what is it called? ADP? is that a term?
Is it more ADP? Game changing?
Well, there was Togekiss in the early seasons of VGC, which was just critical hit nonstop, and it either critical hit either flying type moves or fairy type moves. And then early VGC, there was Sylveon, which was an attacker. The dominant fairy right now is probably Tapu Fini, which I would say is more support. It would be like setting up Misty Terrain. It would be like usually calm mind and getting health back. It would be...
Well, I was just thinking, like, when people talk about Pokemon types, and, like, one of the things I may get the words wrong, but I think that I frequently hear is people are like, ice type is a very defensive type, right? So
ice type is a very fragile type.
What
I would say ice types were more glass cannons.
Okay,
that's what I would say.
What would fairy type be?
Fairy type is just well rounded, I would say.
Okay,
I would say well rounded.
I'll have to pull up. I did a spreadsheet once because I was going to make an RPG once, a mystery dungeon RPG to be effect, and I took the average stats of every of that type, where it was the primary type, and did a spreadsheet to find out which averaged to always be higher. And I don't remember what it came out to be. But I have it. I have the spreadsheet. One day I will finish my Mystery Dungeon RPG.
And in Mystery Dungeon, oof.
What?
Pokemon Masters. In Pokemon Masters, do you have dual types?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so Gardevoir can be Psychic Fairy.
Yes.
But the only part we actually care about is the Fairy part because Psychic's overdone.
Well, it depends on what the moves are and how Gardevoir is going to be built. Because you only get four moves. One is usually... one. There's always one that's at least, like, the... I will increase or I will do something because of the bond between me and my trainer. So it usually has like a fancy name, like your main character with Pikachu has Jumpstart, which makes you go faster. Somebody has, is it Professor Oak that has like Dreams Come True or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, where you like, you hit that instead of actually doing a move. So it depends on how many moves they actually make fairy, how many moves they actually make psychic.
Leon has like Champion Time or whatever.
Yeah.
But Steve just said we need a good fairy attacker in Pokemon Masters, and you're assuming that Gardevoir is going to be an attack-based
fairy type. I think we know its moves. I think when they added Iris, Diantha was in the data mine. I guess that's not official.
Secrets! That's not official! How dare you?
But yeah,
How dare you look at hack data?
Speaking of...
hacking?
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Speaking of hacking, Pokemon Zoroark, the Masters of Illusions, is on Pokemon TV.
Oh, I love that movie. I am watching that tonight.
It is available until April 2nd. Free to watch.
What level of hot dog cart is in this?
Where would we rank Zoroark, Masters of Illusion?
Number one best Pokemon movie ever. Oh, wait, let me rephrase. I left out some words. Number one, best Pokemon movie ever that also features Celebi.
There's a lot of Celebi in a lot of Pokemon movies.
This is the best one about any of the Pokemon movies that has a Celebi in it.
I will say Zoroark Masters of Illusion better than Power of Us.
Oh, well, everything's better than Power of Us. I will say that Zoroark Master of Illusion is in the top five.
Top five?
Power of Us is... literally the worst movie.
I think I would put it at the bottom of my list, too.
It's just a...
I would probably say that the Zoroark movie is not as good as the Genesect movie. The Genesect movie is pretty all right.
No.
You think that one's better?
Zoroark?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Zoroark's better than the Genesect movie. It is definitely not as bad as the Volcanion movie. Volcanion is pretty down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is better
than
Volcanion.
That one's garbage.
Volcanion might be second worst movie.
But I don't know. I Choose You is in there.
Nah, I Choose You is pretty all right.
That's a good movie. I saw that movie in Hawaii.
I will never forget seeing I Choose You in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the whole theater was very well behaved. You know, you didn't have anyone talking or anyone screaming. And as soon as the credits were over, I just remember this like redneck dad standing up going, "I still don't get it. Are they all Pikachu?" Oh, no.
I mean, I do remember seeing the film in the theater because we were in the back and there was maybe 10 people total in the theater. And during the one part, almost everybody laughed. So,
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those situations I find where it's like, if people have heard about a movie and then it's like they hear everybody says, oh, well, this part is going to happen. And then they feel like they have to laugh, even if they didn't really feel it in their heart to laugh at that point in time. Because I certainly didn't laugh.
I was more confused.
I mean, I saw
it
like the second day and people hadn't been talking about it and people still laughed. So
I'm glad that part wasn't spoiled for me.
I kind of wish it was spoiled for me because
it's been long enough. We could talk about it, right? It's been long enough.
No, you can't get that. It's only been, what, 5 years, 4 years?
Oh,
no.
Boy.
When did I choose you come out? Hold on.
Oh, I was in Hawaii, so it has to be like 2017 or 2018.
It was the 20th anniversary, right?
No.
2017. The 2017 film, Pokemon the Movie, I Choose You.
Look, if somebody's listening to this podcast...
Man, that seems like a very long time ago.
They have not seen it by now.
Yeah, because they're 6 years old.
Yeah.
There's no 6 year olds listening to an audio podcast of 3 30 plus year olds arguing about.
We are about to get 1,000 emails from all the kindergarten classes.
Spoiler alert for I Choose You. Stop listening at this point if you do not want to know.
Skip ahead 30 seconds.
Plot point in that film.
What, am I the one that's supposed to say what happens?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You are the person that brought up the spoilage, so you are the spoiler.
So near the end of the movie, a bunch of Pokemon Hyper Beam Ash
into oblivion.
Is it a bunch of Pokemon or just one Pokemon?
It's like the like Nidoking, the Nidoqueen.
Yeah,
no, a bunch. It was like the bunch of Pokemon, and then Ash wakes up, and then Pikachu explains why the entire time through their journey they never went Pikachu talks, which is the part where everyone laughs at, and says the reason I didn't go into my Pokeball is because I wanted to be with you outside the Pokeball.
And for any of our really diligent listeners, I mentioned this like 2 weeks ago.
And so people laughed and made fun of it because I guess maybe they didn't understand what happened. Which would
I
think a lot of people didn't understand what happened, honestly.
No, I disagree.
Ash dies. Which a lot of people didn't get. They just thought he got blown up because he gets electrocuted in like every anime. He dies. Yeah,
he dies.
He, like, Pikachu just suddenly doesn't talk. It's like the afterlife. I compare it a lot to when Harry sees his like self when Voldemort does the thing.
He was resurrected at that point. It's not in his...
Look, I don't remember the end of Harry Potter that well. But there's a weird part very similar to the end of Harry Potter.
Ash wasn't dead when that part happened.
Wait, what? The Pikachu?
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Because
he
Ho-Oh...
He didn't come back.
No, it hadn't hit yet. Because Ash was like, get in the ball. You'll be safe if you get in the ball.
No, he gets hit. He gets hit. And then Pikachu talks.
We're going to have to... I'll contact my Netflix DVD subscription. I'll get a copy. And then we'll see.
And then, because Ho-Oh is there, and Ho-Oh is the resurrection Pokemon, Ho-Oh brings Ash back to life. That is actually what happens. But it happens so fast that I think people just were like, oh, Pikachu just straight up talked for like 5 seconds.
The problem is that the majority of the people in this world have zero imagination and couldn't postulate anything as a answer to the question of why is Pikachu talking other than he could talk the entire time and was just choosing not to say anything.
Okay. Being weakened by Marshadow and the other Pokemon, Ash tells Pikachu to get in his Pokeball, but Pikachu refuses because he always wants to stay by Ash's side. However, Ash finally forces him into his Pokeball as Pokemon attacks Ash, causing his body to disappear.
Yes, see?
In despair. But he said, I want to be by your side before the attacks hit.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm going
to
watch
this. I'm reading it right here in the thing. I just said it to you.
I still think that it's more that, like, it was like a the power of the connection between Ash and Pikachu allowed them in this very intense moment to have... Why are we looking for a logical answer a cartoon?
I stand
Why
by the fact
Scooby-Doo
that the moment
talking the whole time
that moment okay. that moment came too early. That moment would have worked after death, resurrection, and coming back, and they had much more time to sort of be in the after effects than right in the middle of all that. And it felt weird. It felt weird where it was placed, and that is still why people laughed, because it came at a really weird time. I don't disagree.
It definitely was, like, weird. I get what they were going for, though. Like, they had
I do too, but it would have been more effective post everything else. Post all of it. And it wouldn't have cut the tension so weirdly, and it wouldn't have felt so out of place. People laughed, and I always said, like, well, people have different reactions. Like, if one third of your audience laughs, one third doesn't understand what happened, and one third is like into it, your moment didn't land correctly. You didn't set it up properly.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta get 80% of the people.
That is my biggest issue with when that happens.
It's not weird that people laughed at it, because like I said, I get why people laughed at it. It is weird though when you think about the first Pokemon movie, where like Pokemon literally cried, and the tears that floated through the air brought Ash back to life. Like, that is also pretty weird, but I think that moment hit.
Oh, no. Tears have amazing resurrection powers.
Tears have powers throughout time.
The people at hospitals are always crying.
The reason why that worked is because the tension was at its breaking point, and everybody needed that release. The reason why this didn't work is because we were in the middle of the tension and they broke it at the wrong time. They broke the sense of tension that everybody had with something that was so out of place that also the phrase itself didn't match up to what Pikachu had been doing when they hadn't met. Like, you weren't friends and you didn't want to get in the Pokeball then. Mm-hmm. So saying I wasn't wanting to get in the Pokeball this entire time is because we were good friends when the first half of the movie was you becoming friends, made that the whole thing felt weird, and it came at the wrong time. If it had come after Poe's death, then it would have made much more sense. Why did you not go in the ball? That line would have hit
you, fool.
Much stronger.
Now we're both dead. Now at least one of us could have survived. Also, when the first Pokemon movie came out in 1990, whatever.
Nine.
We did not know at that point in time.
How often Ash died.
Ash is fundamentally immortal and can never be destroyed.
He is
like matter, energy, and ash in this universe. He can be converted one to the other, but you can never destroy.
But do you think that scene ruined that movie? I don't think so. I don't think anyone was like, oh, that movie sucks because of that scene. I think people just...
No. I have many other reasons why why I was not a fan of that movie. That is the one that people point to. I would argue that the structure of a lot of the film fails. I still, like, as much as I criticize the movie, I still think it was a good movie. But there are a number of things that I felt were fundamentally wrong with that film. And I still,
still
think
not
wrong
as good
with
as
that
the
film.
Zoro Arc movie.
No, but I still think Zoro Arc is better.
Man, I don't
and
like
I, w- the- I will say, probably bottom of the barrel worst Pokemon movie is definitely the Reshiram Zekrom movie. That was so...
Really?
So bad.
Is that the one with the giant organ at the end?
It's the one where Golurk flies for the first time. And that's,
yeah, that one's awesome.
No.
Which is the one that has the giant musical organ or pipe organ?
We should
at
just
the
turn
end.
This podcast into continual reviews of the very few Pokemon movies that exist
there
because
are
we
like
always
20.
Go down this hole.
No, there are like 23 20. Pokemon movies.
Yeah.
And yet there are 453 episodes of this program where we continually review 23 Pokemon movies.
Okay. We'll have one final special episode where we all have to watch all 23 movies and then rate them.
In a row. Oof. No breaks.
No
that
breaks.
That is a 5-hour podcast right there.
When we're all in the same location, we'll all set aside a week, exist in the same spot, and torture ourselves watching all 23 movies.
All right, there was some new Pokemon Center merchandise added. There was a kitchen collection added.
That butter dish is sweet and you know it.
They added a ceramic utensil holder, a ceramic treat jar. I don't know why they just didn't call it a cookie jar. It's literally what It is.
Nobody because you eats can put, cookies anymore.
You can put dog treats in it. It's not just true. For cookies.
I guess. Ceramic mixing bowls. I'm not one to hang out in the kitchen too often. Do people want ceramic bowls or I thought they wanted like
yes.
plastic or glass or
nobody wants plastic. Plastic is
ceramic
the
seems
power
like...
of us of kitchen materials.
What if you drop ceramic, it breaks, right?
Well, that's what makes it so precious.
Yeah.
Oh, if you drop plastic, it bounces.
Okay. People do not give value based on droppability.
Yeah, but if it was stainless steel, it would dent, but it would still be good.
I mean,
once again, people don't determine value by bounceability.
All of the materials behave differently and are used for different reasons. But as a collection, they made them all out of ceramic. Like everything else is ceramic. It'd be weird to be like, here's five ceramic pieces for your kitchen set, and these three are plastic.
It'd probably be cheaper if they were plastic. Pikachu ceramic baking dishes, a Pikachu ceramic pie dish, and a Pikachu ceramic serving plate. And then they released Pikachu ceramic salt and pepper shakers, which yes. I ordered.
Oh, you did?
I did order them.
Did you get the most important one?
I don't know. A Pikachu. The last one is the Pikachu kitchen ceramic butter dish.
This gives me so many issues. It just gives me... I mean, obviously, I was moved to the point of texting you both and saying, why does this exist? This should not exist.
I mean, why should it not exist?
Because...
I do like
it's
a butter
2021.
Dish.
2021. No, don't put butter on the table.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Well, where are you
Why
supposed
not?
To put it?
Keep it in the refrigerator to be used as an ingredient, not a condiment. Butter is not a condiment.
You don't
okay,
have, like,
I can see the tweets and the Discord messages.
You don't have any
like,
negative reviews we've had this
bleedle,
past
bleedle,
week
bleedle.
About me
Will
being
Anderson,
negative.
Butter is fantastic.
I mean, okay, I hate butter. So you can send your hate mail to me. However, I live in a butter-loving home who does already have a butter dish out. And I did send this text to my husband, should I get this as our new butter dish? And the response was, yes, question mark. Which is not a definitive answer.
So I have not
purchased the butter dish.
I will say... For my background and reasoning behind this, number one, I grew up in a Tupper warehouse where the majority of the stuff was plastic. Thank
yes,
you,
it was
Mr.
the 70s. Everything was
okay,
plastic.
This is me being negative. I cannot stand Tupperware.
Number
Why?
Two.
What is wrong with Tupperware? It farts.
There was always a butter dish on the table, and that thing, because it perpetually had a stick of butter in it, was never cleaned.
Oh,
so
that's
it
not
just
had
like
household.
Years worth of butter residue
oh,
in
no.
there. Because like
no,
butter
no, no.
doesn't go bad.
Yeah, but
mostly.
I mean, kind of.
But also, butter is an ingredient. You
it
put
is.
It in things, not on things.
Look, as somebody who doesn't spend a lot of time in the kitchen, there's very few things I know how to make. One of them is toast. And by putting two pieces of bread into a toaster and then having access to not solid
frigid.
Butter.
Yeah.
It is. If we remove the butter from the counter, then that's one less thing I can
Wait,
officially
you don't
make.
Keep your butter in the refrigerator?
We have the butter on
there's,
the counter
there's
with the lid.
Butter
with the lid.
Counter butter.
Fridge butter and
counter butter. As a person that will make toast and not put butter on it.
What are you putting on your toast? Hold on. Whoa. What are you putting on your toast if it's not butter?
Peanut butter, jelly.
Peanut butter, jelly, or nothing. Like,
nothing?
Or cream
what?
Cheese. Oh, you know what's
you
real good?
You love bread.
How, I do.
How dare you look at me with this shocked
Dude,
look?
Try this.
When I say I want the pure taste of toasted bread unaltered by your strange outside influence.
No, but here, I've got key for you. And for anybody who's like spent their life just like under the strong arm of Big Dairy Butter
yeah.
holding you down.
Yeah.
This is what you got to do. Because cows deserve a better life. Get yourself some ricotta cheese.
Mm.
When you make your toast, You spread that ricotta cheese on the toast. Get one of those like coarse salt grinders. Grind yourself some coarse sea salt on top of that ricotta cheese and just a little sprinkle of pepper. Little tiniest sprinkle of pepper. That is the best way to have toast.
I'm not on board with ricotta cheese, I think.
Why?
Like, I don't like cream. I'm very picky about my cheese textures. I don't like cream cheese because I hate the sourness. And I'm trying to remember if I've had ricotta cheese recently enough to say I would do that, and
it's
I don't think I have.
It's pretty flavorless.
Okay.
I'm living my Pokemon life, right? We can, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see a bunch of Pokemon stuff behind me. It's, for the most part, stays to my office. And we have Pokemon stuff throughout the house, right? Like, we have, like, a Pokemon blanket, like, a throw blanket on our bed. In the kitchen, we have, like, the Pokemon apron. In the living room, we have, like, one or two Pokemon plushes that we, like, rotate out every now and then. So, I have Pokemon sprinkled throughout the house. And there's a good balance. I think sometimes people have way too much of something. You ever walk into somebody's kitchen and they, like, have a theme going on? And you're
yes.
like, and then you walk into the bathroom and they have a whole nother theme going on.
Yes.
My parents are like
interior
that.
Decoration.
And no, like not into that. Like not into like the rooster bathroom that my parents have where like.
Look, if your room doesn't have a theme, how do you know what to do in there?
That's true. That's true. But so I like a little subtlety, you know. So I felt like the Pikachu butter dish was like. Too much, but
it's
the salt and pepper shakers were like cute enough.
No. So, but see, the thing is, now, like, if you're gonna go in, you got to go in at least in a set, right? It's like if I'm gonna have the Pikachu salt and pepper shakers on the table, and I'm going to have a butter dish because I live in Greg's house, then I might as well have the Pikachu butter dish.
All right.
The thing, like, out of all these items. That I would buy would be the Pikachu pie dish.
Yeah,
because
Pikachu
it's like
pie dish is good.
If I'm gonna make a pie, let me make a cute pie for you.
This is my worry, and maybe the cost should make me feel better, but I don't think so. I got the Moo Moo milk collection. It was
two
plates and then two bottles. I think there's actually a bottle behind me. And I kept one sealed, right? Put it next to my ancient Mew. Gotta let it appreciate in value so I can pay for my kids' college. And then I used the other one as like, hey, we're actually gonna use the, I mean, they're plates, right? Like, let's use them as like little plates. And that design is no longer on the plate.
Oh. Was this a Pokemon Center?
Yes. It was the little mill tank with the blue lines and the red circle around it.
And was it ceramic?
I'm not sure if they were.
Or was
or
it
not.
Plastic?
Not. I don't think they were plastic.
All right. I have a fundamental question. You have Pikachu salt and pepper shakers in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know which one you are supposed to put the pepper in?
I figured it would probably tell you.
No, there's no markings. There's no S and P. There is one clue, and I am testing you.
Yeah, because any of us from the 70s, we know this answer.
Oh, wait. Okay, so to describe, because this is an audio podcast, for most people, there's a Pikachu with both eyes open, and then there's a Pikachu with one eye winking.
Winky, winky.
I would assume that the winking one is the salt.
Incorrect!
No?
Incorrect.
How? Wait, what would you make your judgment based on? What? How do you make your choice?
Because it's winking at you that you're being unhealthy by having the salt.
No. There is, like, every shaker out there is marked by this so that you know which one's the salt and which one's the pepper.
What is this?
It's the number of holes on top.
The number of holes on top.
Oh, I thought you meant the wing. No, I can't see the number of holes in this picture.
You can. You can.
You can?
You
which
can't
ones?
Look at the pictures. Look at the last picture.
Oh, the
in.
Last picture. Yeah, the pepper always has more holes.
Yep. You failed.
I thought we were going off the eyes. I thought you were saying, like, if we had, like, like a Woody Woodpecker salt shaker, one Woody Woodpecker would be winking, and one would not be.
No, I'm saying these particular. I had mentioned
you. I was. You guys. Set. You guys sold it as like the 70s. There was always like one salt shaker winking at you, and one not.
No, there was in the 70s. Always the one that had the most hole on the top was the pepper
one. I thought we were
one.
Going off we, the like, eyes. Like,
we were literally taught this in elementary school, so we didn't fill our shakers incorrectly, but. Talking about incorrectly inappropriate, now that you have forced me to look at the images of these items on Pokemon Center Store.
Yes.
.com.org.edu. Why did they have to feature how you fill the salt and pepper shaker? Why did that have to be an image that will never leave my brain ever?
It's a little Pikachu booty to lighten up your day.
It certainly is.
It's a little Pikachu booty to get you going.
The cookie jar seems all right.
The cookie jar looks cute. The utensil holder is a waste of space. Are we going to talk about the new parade scam?
Yeah. We'll keep talking about that scam.
Ugh.
This will be the last thing we talk about before we go to break. There is a Pokemon Celebration Parade Grand Marshal Pikachu figure. If you want to picture what it looks like, imagine a Arcanine with a Pikachu riding it and a Eevee leading it. Both Pikachu and Eevee have a top hat. Arcanine is carrying a Pikachu banner. It is purchase limit 2. It has not sold out yet, as it's been up for a week now. It says, here they come. The Pokemon Celebration Parade is on our way to commemorate 25 years of Pokemon. This detailed figure features some cheerful Pokemon marching in uniform. Grand Marshal Pikachu leads the parade with its silver and blue outfit. Arcanine is giving Pikachu a ride like a parade float, and Eevee walks ahead, smiling at its friends and fans. Join the fun of the celebration of past, present, and future Pokemon. Combined all the figures to make a full Pokemon Celebration Parade. Other figures sold separately. Protective pads at the bottom help keep this piece steady on most smooth surfaces. Each figure is hand-painted to highlight the details of the scene. Natural variations in paint may occur. A Pokemon Center original. It's made out of resin, not ceramic. The country of origin is China. It is 4.5 by 9 by 6 inches. And they said there are more. They didn't say how many more. And they didn't show what the other ones look like.
Nope.
But you're going to have a parade of Pokemon throughout the year.
Look, it's going
to
be the same.
I am strangely attracted to this thing, and I hate like every one of these figurines that they've ever made. And yet, strangely, looking at this one, I kind of want it.
I just know it's going to be as bad as the train set. It's going to feel cheap.
They didn't even say how many there are. The train set, they at least said there was 4.
Well, yeah. This isn't limited quantity.
This is limited purchase.
You were saying number of... participants in the parade.
Yeah.
They're really good. They must have figured out that this just works. They did the Pikachu one, which was the 12 Pikachus with Funko. And I actually, Greg, you got some of those, didn't you?
No.
You didn't get, I think they're great quality. They're awesome.
Like, I didn't get any of the Funkos. I also don't really like Funko. I did get the train and I hated the train quality.
Yeah, the Pikachu Funkos, when they did that for... whatever year that was, they did a different Pikachu every... It's not the Funkos with the big black eyes, because Funko makes toys. They make other things besides the big... But they're really, really great. And I got all of them, and I think they were $16 each. And they came out once every month. And I got the whole collection. And then they did the train. The train was $40. There was 4 of them. And I got the first one, and it was bad. And I was like, if it was good quality, I would have paid $40 every month.
Yep.
Or not every month, whenever they released it. Then they did another set of 4 trains this past year. And I don't know, they sold out like instantly or something, because I don't remember them ever being up on the website. But there were like 2 people in our Slack that said they got the trains. And then they did the Eevee stuff, which was also through Funko, where they did the 12 Eevees. 12? No, it was like 9. 10? Something like that. There was not 12 Eevee evolutions.
No, yeah, they had one for every evolution.
And then they did the 4 haunted houses, which were bad quality, because they were the same as the train. And I don't know how I feel about this. It looks like it's better than the train and better than the haunted houses, but not as good as the Funko, but also more expensive than the Funko.
The train looked good on the one picture they did. But if you zoom in on these pictures, you can see the same issues I had with the train.
Which is?
The paint is bad. Like, if you look at, in their promo picture, the transition of Pikachu's feet to the saddle that he's wearing, like, already the paint looks bad there.
Yeah. It's like the second picture.
And same with the back.
Ooh.
And
his little shirt and tie. Yeah. That's not so great.
They always like, you expect a level of crispness in these products that you aren't getting because
they are hand-painted.
Get better painters?
Or just let a machine do it better. Just let a machine do it and say it's hand-painted. As long as it looks good, I don't care.
I'm still kind of tempted.
I don't like the ground they're walking on. I think it looks sludgy.
It looks like a pebbled street.
Yeah, it does look like... Yeah, you can see a little confetti on it, which kind of looks cool.
Yeah.
It just looks like the demarcations between the cobblestones look like rivers of tar to me. I'm not into that.
Maybe Arcanine's just a little hot.
A little hot. Melting the cobbles.
Melting the asphalt.
I feel like I would be almost more willing to... Okay, so this is my thought process. If they showed all five... Let's say there was five of them. And they showed all five. And the other four are cooler than this. I would then feel like I would need to buy this, even though I don't love this, because I want to complete the set.
Yeah.
But now my worry is, what if the second one has, like, Chimecho and Cramorant and Aromatease, everyone's three favorite Pokemon?
And this one sells out, and then you can't get the second one now because you didn't get the first one.
And now it's like, I don't have a leader of the parade. I got an Aromatease here, and it's like, what's happening? Like, I don't know. Maybe
Aromatease is the head of your parade. Maybe you shut up late. Maybe you should be happy with the ones that you get and not worry about being a completionist.
But with the Eevee and with the Pikachu Funko stuff, they didn't show all of them, but they at least showed, like, silhouettes. So you at least knew how many there were. You could at least kind of guess. What's happening with this parade?
The parade will last as long as the money holds up.
They're like, we got the start of the parade done. We got the end of the parade done. If it keeps selling, we'll keep making the middle of the parade.
The middle is just like Schrodinger's parade. Until you look at it, you don't know what's going to happen.
It's not $40. It's $30.
It's $30. It's also not a house. I'm kind of mad that the Pokemon Magikarp fitted tank top is already sold out.
Yeah, I was going to send that to you too, but it's sold out.
Sold out so fast, and it's super cute. Although, I don't know who gave the art direction to the model's faces. The model to have him make the faces in these pictures, because they are not good.
You know, that's stock photography, and they just cut and paste the clothes onto them. Do you think our great-grandparents had these kinds of discussions about Yadro figurines?
They had nothing else to do.
I just posted a link to a Yadro porcelain dragon.
Ooh.
Like Chinese style dragon, which would be, you know, comparable to the Pikachu leader of the parade figurine. The Yadro porcelain dragon costs $29,645.
This thing is gorgeous.
Is it hand painted though?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be.
Designed and handmade in Spain.
How's the paint quality on that, Greg?
It's amazing. Also, it's porcelain. So, I mean, this thing is incredible.
Limited series, too.
I've been watching the Great Pottery Throwdown, I understand how hard it is to make these things.
Let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we got some Pokemon Go news and some bug news. So we will be right back.
Tricks.
Lucky Charms.
Cocoa Puffs. Tricks.
Golden Grams.
Cocoa Puffs tricks.
Cookie Crisp.
Cocoa Puffs.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's a real rock.
Tricks has flavor. Tricks has flavor. No.
Best cereal.
Count Chocula.
And we are back. We got some Pokemon Go news. This is a off PokemonGoLive.com. Celebrate the Festival of Colors in India with Pokemon Go Plus. Unlock bonuses in the India Wayfarer Challenge.
Notice how I brought up Indian food at the beginning of this program.
It's all deep cuts.
Transition.
In addition to this exciting in-game event for trainers in India, two all-new t-shirts will be available and inspired by the Festival of Colors, which will be available to all trainers worldwide. These avatar items will be available for free in the in-game shop starting on March 26. They are very pride, I will say that.
Excuse me?
Sunday, the event will take place...
I think he associates anything that's colorful with pride.
I mean, it's a fair connection, but...
Sunday, March 28th, from 10 to 20 IST for trainers in India. Pokemon representing the different colors of the Festival of Colors will appear more frequently to incense, such as Bulbasaur, Pikachu, Jigglypuff, Grimer, Seal, Meryl, Sunkern, Murkrow, Slugma, Aeron, Trapinch, and Drifloon. Complete the Festival of Colors timed research to earn the following: Pokeballs, Great Balls, Ultra Balls, Raspberries, Pinaps, Nanab, Golden Raz, Silver, Dragon Scale, Sunstone, Sinnostone, Mega Energy for Venusaur, Charizard, Blastoise, Beedrill, Pidgeot, Gengar, and Ampharos. And you will also get other items like Hyper Potions, Super Incubators, and Premium Battle Passes. And you will also get an encounter with Alolan Muk, the colorful sludge Pokemon. You know, I don't know if... Okay. You will also
get... What?
I don't know if... I think it is called the sludge Pokemon. I don't think it's called the colorful sludge Pokemon.
It is full of colors.
Check the in-game shop for two boxes. Again, this is only for people, for players in India. A 100 Pokecoin box containing 30 Pokeballs, a Lucky Egg, 10 Pinap Berries, and a free box containing 3 Incense. They will also have a Wayfarer Challenge, but we won't go through Wayfarer. It's a lot. But everyone will get these cool shirts. There's a black one with a color explosion, and then there's a white one with a different color explosion. Which I feel like I've seen these designs before on like iStock photo that you pay for $40, but maybe they're unique. I'm not sure. They look like I've seen them before.
I mean, they're fireworks and a cloud. Like,
yeah. How much are you gonna do?
What do you, so creative, I guess. What do you expect? I mean, they're nice. I think I like the black one quite a bit.
I think this is cool for India. It's cool that they get their own event. I'm sure plenty of trainers around the world complain that, you know, GoFest was in Chicago and they can't travel to GoFest and blah, blah, blah. So it's cool that they got their own event. There was the Mexican event a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Germany will eventually get their Safari Zone or whatever, probably later this year. It seems likely. We were talking on the break about how PAX is announcing dates for conventions and Gen Con is announcing dates. It's probably very likely that in weeks or months that Niantic will start doing their, hey, we're doing events, they're all outdoor, we're limiting the amount of people, we have hand sanitizations everywhere. I'm sure Niantic will probably say something sooner rather than later, honestly. Which I feel like I would rather do a Niantic outdoor event than to go to a convention inside a building.
I think this year I am still with you on that. Yes. Just as a preference for how my events are handled, yes.
Yeah, I mean, as a preference, but I'm real eager to get back to seeing people, so...
Yeah.
You know, I'm prepping for it. I'm prepping to be inside. I got my things going on. I got, you know.
The other thing here, Pokemon Go related, is Niantic updated the all-in-one 151 Master Research Pokestop task. That was a mouthful. After you complete the catch 30 of every type and catch for 31 days in a row, which I think some people are still on. It's like step two, I believe.
I'm still on the first step.
Yeah.
The third step, which was the one revealed earlier. So this is a whole conversation, and it's kind of taken us a while to get to talking about it. But when they announced the Kanto tour that we did, the three of us, safely, well, safe as we could be at Mall of America. I'm so happy I got a hotel room, that we were able to grab food, eat in the hotel room, not near anyone.
Yeah,
agreed.
They announced the Kanto tour. It was $12, right? Or $11. And then there it was, the 12-hour event. It was there was worries prior to this of, what if I can't catch all 151? I won't be able to get Mew. That wasn't the case, which I assured people the way they worded it was the Mew quest was going to be separate. You got a shiny Ditto. You got 12 hours of stuff. You got the tray. You got whatever. You got all the rewards. And then there are some people that only wanted the shiny Mew. They spent the $12.99. And then they were very upset that they had to work for the shiny Mew.
I mean, we talked about this at length.
We talked about this. And the biggest thing that people were definitely upset about was you had to be level 40 to get the shiny Mew, which is still the case. It is the third step. I, on this program, the positive beacon I am,
said, I'm the negative one. That's true.
Yeah.
Said level 40 is the last thing you have to worry about. Because at the time we didn't know the other steps, but there are the other steps are there's a lot to them.
There's a lot.
I would argue that catching 30 dragon types is way harder than getting to level 40 right now. There, so the first task, I don't remember it that well, but it was like,
I'm still on it. You want
me
to look?
Yeah. Let's go through all the tests.
Oh yeah, I'm still on number one. It was make 151 great throws, which I've got 79.
Yep. You could do that in a day. If you're a hardcore player, you could do that in a day, technically.
Send 151 gifts, which.
You technically would have to do that in 2 days if you were a hardcore player, because the game only limits you of sending 100 gifts a day.
Yes, I've completed that one.
And when you guys left after Mall of America, walked around the mall empty, because the mall closes at 9, but you can be in it until 10. So I walked around the mall like 3 times, and I was able to send like 50 gifts that night to like get a little head start on that. So it was send 150 gifts. 150 great throws. What were the other two?
151 gifts. 151 great throws.
I can't see it because I already completed.
Oh, the other one was
complete the Kanto Pokédex. You had to have Kanto a complete Pokédex. Kanto Pokédex, which I didn't have until the Kanto tour.
Right, but that wasn't because time limit, right? That wasn't.
No,
you didn't have to do it in the 12 hours.
I mean, I caught them, so it was just me being lazy. I never got a Poliwrath, and I never got a Vileplume. I just never did it. So I just finally did it.
Yeah. And then step two was catch a Pokemon 30 days in a row. So there was a 30-day minimum to even get Shiny Mew. If you missed a day, you would have to start over. And then it was catch 30 of every single type. Nice. And as of right now, I have completed all of that, except I am missing... I need 25 more dragons, and it's been 30 days for me. I need 19 more dark type, and I need 17 more fairy, which I kind of slept on fairy. There was at one point, there was Jigglypuffs spawning nonstop, and I was like, I don't have to worry about that, but now I'm not seeing any fairies.
So, if I... do double dual types count as one both?
Dual will count as both.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're cruel, but they're not evil.
And so then after that, you would have to get to level 40, You would have to walk 151 kilometers.
Easily done.
You would have to...
I don't walk that much.
You have to get to level 40, walk 151 kilometers, spin 151 unique stops.
Unique stops.
Which they changed.
Oh.
Yeah.
And now it's just you have to spin 151 Pokestops.
Yep.
But I don't think the 151... The 151 unique stops would definitely be a problem for people who live not in a city. Because you would have to travel for it.
Yeah, so the question that I had before they changed it was... Could you have visited that stop before? Like, does it just have to
that
be...
Yeah, that was the question.
Because I have visited... I could maybe get to 151 unique stops. I mean, they've really cut down Victory Road. But I've visited all of those before. So if they didn't count, I was going to be up a creek.
Road trip to St. Cloud.
Yeah, let's go to... Let's go to Duluth for the weekend.
We'll I still haven't been. I'll go.
Yeah, let's go to the aquarium.
So let's get to, and so they changed it to just spin 151 stops, which, I guess you could do that in like a day, or if you lived in a big city or you need to travel to a big city, you could probably do that in a day, but I don't know if you can walk 151 kilometers in a day.
Will does.
Yeah, easily.
No, we talked about this. I think you said you do like what? You said you do like 40 kilometers a week?
No, I do about 80 a week.
Okay.
40 kilometers. I do 40 kilometers in a day. Come on now.
I don't know. I personally didn't have a problem with Shiny Mew being behind the level 40. But I also feel like everything this Mew quest is asking for is for like a hardcore player.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, absolutely.
It's Shiny Mew. This is like the impossible Pokemon. It should be an achievement for hard work. Well done. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
I'm going to complete it in like 5 years, so I just don't interact with the game that much.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a drag. Like, I'm sure if the game told me it was windy, it's actually windy right now, and I turned on an incense, and I probably played for the next 12 hours. I'm sure because of it is windy, which makes dragon types spawn, because I have an incense, and because I'm actively playing, I'm sure I could probably make a dent in my dragon stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, this quest does not entice me to... Because of the length that I know is going to take so long to get to, I am not more enticed to play the game more often or more than I do now. Like,
You'll eventually get there.
I eventually get it.
Yeah.
I'll eventually get there. Just like I eventually got to 40 and suffered through December.
Like, there should be a balance between time-limited quests where you're like, okay, I got to go out this Sunday evening because the quest is ending and I know I can do it. I just got to set aside 2 hours. And that's fine. But I the other side of the coin here is I'm glad that this quest doesn't feel like I need to, like, do it ASAP.
Yeah. There's no rush because it feels like a marathon. Like, the things they're asking for feel like a marathon.
And if you're not 40, by the time you get through most of this quest, you'll probably be 40. We can only hope. And there's enough events where, like, if you're missing dragon or you're missing ice or you don't have enough experience, like right now, you're getting, what, like, bonus XP on raids if you do raids, and you can do one free raid a day. So if you're missing, like, ice Pokemon, I'm sure there will be some sort of Fire and Ice event or something.
Have they announced the next community day?
No, they have not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Final bit of news here is researchers name newly discovered insects after legendary Pokemon. This is off Kotaku. This was sent in by our Slack community. Let me just give credits to who sent that in. That was James sent that in, and then Steven also provided some insight here. They provided a lot of science stuff that I don't know. But if you guys didn't hear, two entomologists
close
decided to name
M&M-ologists. They study M&Ms.
M&M-ologists.
They discovered a new species of Australian beetles, and they named them after Articuno, Moltres, and Zapdos. I'm going to ruin this. It is Binburum.
Yeah, I think that's close.
That sounds right to me.
Binburum Articuno, the Binburum Moltres, and the Binburum Zapdos. Is it still the thing if you discover, is it like when you discover like a comet, you get to name it? You discover a bug, you get to name it?
Yes.
Generally, yeah. If you discover it, you get to name it.
Okay.
Is the general rule. I think there might be some limits, but generally, if you found it, you name it.
Okay. In the world of scientific research, those who do the hard work of delivering new findings get to name it. And in the case of Eastern New Mexico University and entomology.
Entomologist.
Entomologist, for crying
Dr.
out loud.
Darren Pollock and Australian National University PhD student Yun Hasio. That meant immortalizing their Beatles discoveries using the names of three of the Pokemon's most famous powerful birds.
Nerds.
Why didn't they name them after Pokemon's famous powerful Beatles?
Yeah. Why isn't it Cascoon?
How is Cascoon a beetle? What is wrong with you?
A Heracross?
Okay.
What other beetles do we have?
Oh, remove you from this program.
Pinsir's not a beetle.
Sure it is.
Yeah, it is.
Or beetle.
Okay,
or
right.
beetle. It's got a name that in it. Dude?
I mean, one could throw Genesect in there.
True.
Quote, the choice of the name for a new species is not trivial. It must be different than other described species, Pollock said. One way to ensure this is to make a name that no one would happen to come up with before.
Except for the Pokemon Company.
You're right. He went on and say, Yun says that he was an aspiring Pokemon trainer when he was young, and so because of the rarity of specimen of the three new species, he suggested we name them after the three legendary bird Pokemon. Naturally, I thought it was a great idea. And so the new species which were unveiled to the world in 2020 are Burburum, Articuno, Moltres, and Zapdos, all with Hasio and Pollock as the authors. We already plan to describe more new species of the genus that have turned up since we finished the paper, and perhaps with more Pokemon names.
Perhaps. Next ones will be Entei, Raikou, and Suicune.
The legendary dogs. I mean, the bugs are, I mean, they're bugs.
They're bugs, yeah.
I'm looking at the bugs, and, like, they sure are bugs.
They're not exciting to look at.
I mean, they're kind of exciting to look at.
Like, there are people who are into bugs.
Not me.
I mean, I sort of get, like, I think the coloring is very cool. Like, I can see a little bit why they picked the name for each of them. Because, like, the Articuno has, the bluish eyes and the bluish head, and, like, the Moltres one is much more golden. And the Zapdos has more, like, it's got only golden top, and you kind of see the gold through the wings. Like, I kind of see why they picked the names for them, but they sure are bugs.
Greg, give us our question of the week.
Just for Will. Taking a big old swing.
Yeah. Still offended, but go right ahead.
I see you looking in Slack, looking for what to ask. OSBJ, what's the question of the week?
Don't know what song that was supposed to be.
It must be like a show tune or something. I don't know that one.
Boy, the worst.
Hercules.
Ooh, I should do Hercules.
This is from Robert in our Slack. Will there be a significance to the 1,000th Pokemon?
Yes. Next question.
Isn't every Pokemon significant?
It's going to be the millennial Pokemon. It's going to have a Pokemon that's got TikTok and a phone in its hand. It's going to have a bad attitude.
They kind of made a Digimon kind of like that, actually.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I'm still mad at you for not telling about Rosamond.
Rosamond? Yeah, Rosamond's cool.
Somebody needed to tell me, and nobody did. I thought it ended at Lilymon.
No.
There's nothing cool about Digimon.
It keeps
just
going.
Keep going. Keep going.
Oh, well, the Digimon card game looks so good,
no,
though.
No.
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 X. No.
They got the Digimon card game has, like, ladies in it, too. I know you like that in the Vanguard.
Look, no. And I have been paying attention to Digimon TCG, which I believe is either the 5th or 6th Digimon TCG to come out.
Yeah, they're rebooting it a lot.
Which also, I mean, if you want to go down this road, we can talk about the fact that the current release is version 1.5, which was, I believe, delayed because they can't figure out how they actually want to release this horrible, horrible game.
They also released it and, like, banned a card right off.
Yeah, well, that's magic. How many versions does Cole own?
No, Cole is getting into the new Digimon. The problem
mean, of course
is,
he is.
I mean, okay, let me see if I can get this as, like, short as possible, because I could literally talk for hours on this particular topic. But it's like, Vanguard players, yes, because the company that makes Vanguard and New Japan Pro Wrestling, same company, has been playing games with us for a couple of years now, are always like, I'm quitting. I'm moving to a better card game. Yu-Gi-Oh! Players, that's been since the life of Yu-Gi-Oh! They're always looking for something better than Yu-Gi-Oh! Because Yu-Gi-Oh! Is bottom of the barrel. So now it's like when Digimon, the latest Digimon TCG was announced last year, everybody was like, well, Vanguard is junk and Yu-Gi-Oh! Is junk, so I'm going to Digimon because that's going to be a great game and they're going to support it and they're going to make it blah, blah. No, and it has turned out to be just like every other Digimon TCG that has ever been made, a hot pile of trash. Plus, anything with Digimon on it is garbage.
Oh my gosh.
I hate Digimon.
I love
it. I hate it. I hate
it. They're the
champions.
Digimon.
I watched the Digimon cartoon. I watched several seasons of the Digimon cartoon. Do not like.
You didn't get hyped when they started Digivolving and they did the
No.
Digimon.
No.
It's good.
Digimon monsters, Digimon, the champions.
I don't understand why those small children were abducted to another universe.
No, it was the digital world.
It was the digital world.
That is also AKA another universe.
I mean, I used to have Digimon-based nicknames for my old dog.
Okay.
It was a thing.
Irene actually mentioned this the other day to me. She was like, they must be close to 1,000. And I was like, yes, they're at 898 Pokemon. Which, the actual, I think, more interesting question is, are they going to get to 1,000, so add 102 Pokemon in Generation 9? Or are they going to milk it and only do like 30th? 50? And then...
Would they hold the 1,000
so
off to the 30th anniversary?
10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet they hold it till Gen 10. I bet they go. I actually bet they go 999999 for Gen 9.
Mm.
And then the 1,000th will be the first introducing Pokemon of Gen 10. That would be my.
The only way that they would do that is if they do it in the same way that they did with Victini.
I bet they
where
would.
Victini was Pokemon Zero in the Unova Pokemon Pokédex.
I bet they do.
I mean, we know
that doesn't matter.
It's going to be mythical, right? Like, it's going
to
be a mythical Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a starter because those things are garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume it would be mythical like Victini. But the Victini thing was really confusing back in the day because they made it a big deal that it was zero.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It's like Victini's Pokedex number is like, what, like 586 or something? It's just it's zero in the Unova Dex, which isn't that big of a deal.
But it was the first time that a mythical would be...
Before the starters.
The starters, number one. And number two, it was, I believe, the first time that you could obtain the mythical, like, at the beginning of the game.
You needed, I think, just two badges, but yes.
As opposed to having to wait until the game was over for a distribution.
Victini's actual Pokedex number is 494.
It's a good highway.
But I personally think they saved the
494 is garbage.
Yeah,
it's not from Bloomington to Egan. How exciting is that?
I was waiting. Welcome to Minneapolis Highway Cast.
It's no 35, buddy.
Where we rag on the highway systems.
Oh, Tom.
Hey, do you think they put a lot of thought into like? Does Japan have meme numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the number
1,000
is important to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, they have important numbers. Like every culture has important, significant numbers.
Like 666, which you would argue is like a number everyone knows. A number they played up in Digimon as well. So they have to,
and
right?
It's the wrong number, FYI.
But they played up 666 in Digimon. But 666, obviously, like devil or bad.
It's the wrong number.
But that still ended up being number. Vivian.
Yeah.
Yes, the devil, bad.
The devil, the devil, bad, Vivian.
And then
Vivian.
777, which I would assume Japan would also consider be lucky because they got slot machines there, right?
No,
that's just us.
I don't think seven's a very American lucky number.
Yeah, seven's a very Western.
777 ended up being Togedemaru, which maybe they planned that.
No,
it's a Pikachu clone. They love love 150. They love 150 and 151.
I mean. Seven is important in Chinese numerology, I think. I think seven is a lucky number in China and
I don't know.
America, maybe. Mm.
I bet they save 1,000 for Gen 10, though.
I bet they do. So they're going to have another region. They're going to do this thing where they do the form. So they'll be like, they'll introduce 150 Pokemon, but 60 of them are new forms, so that it's technically not getting us to 1,000, which is like so garbage to get around.
It's like Sword and Shield, though.
It would be like a podcast holding off numbering their episodes in a specific way to avoid hitting a major milestone. It's that level of garbage.
Wasn't Sword and Shield just like 60 new Pokemon, and then it was like 20 Galarian?
Yeah, I mean, there's no natural.
I'm not a Pokemon entomologist here. I don't
keep track. Right.
These creatures and their forms.
Are the Pokemon of the week-ologist.
Yes.
Which it's time for.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah, that was my transition.
That was smooth.
Last week's Pokemon, which somebody... somebody guessed something, and I was like, you realize that doesn't fly. The key clues were that it has a universe all of its own. You can never meet it unless you have other Pokemon in your party. In Unova, I like to reference the Dream Radar because I made extensive use of that for completing my Pokedex, which was a fun, weird 3DS-only type thing. Yes, so also one of the Pokemon that you can encounter if you're flying around above Hoenn, because there were those random encounters of only flying things that you could come across. Ultra Space Wilds from Alola. Now you can get it in a Dynamax Adventure, which would really make you think that it's a Legendary or a Ultra Beast. And then I said it's immune to normal fighting and ground, which really made it difficult for some people. I also said it's sometimes immune to normal fighting and ground, which would mean it's not always immune to normal fighting and ground. But either way. And then I said some Pokemon make use of a mostly light-colored mottled with black and brown globular item that might be given to you apocryphally by Striaton City Gym Leader's alternate forms to swap their attack and defense stats. To translate that into common English, some Pokemon use the Grizzius Orb, which could be given to you by... I don't remember who the three bad guys was. I knew it last week, but I don't remember.
Shadow Triad.
The Shadow Triad, which some people argued were the Striaton City gym leaders.
Yeah, they are. It's sure. The deep lore.
And
bad fan theory.
You use the Grizzius Orb to... change the form of what Pokemon?
It's
Skorupi.
Oh, nice.
That's still a good call. Right. It's Giratina.
Look, they were both also like does not bugs. Fly. That was my reference.
It's Orbeetle.
They should have named the beetle Skorupi. It's funner. It's more fun to say than Articuno.
Except Skorupi is a scorpion, not a beetle.
Not a beetle.
It has the
scorpions aren't
abdomens.
Even insects.
It has a it can sting you.
I have an abdomen, but beetles don't sting; they pinch.
What?
You can pinch and sting at the same time.
I mean,
you've got to have a stinger. Beetles don't have stingers. Let me say it this way: most beetles don't have stingers. I can't speak for all beetles because I believe actually, out of all creatures on this earth. There are actually more beetles than any other type of creature out there, but still.
You made it too easy by saying the orb. Should have left the orb.
I didn't say orb. I said globular item.
Yeah.
Globular item. Origin form Giratina is the tallest Generation 4 Pokemon. Giratina has many differences from the other members of the trio. It is the only member with a form. It is the only member without double resistance. It has the highest HP stat rather than special attack. It does not have a time-space orb in Diamond and Pearl, but it has the other orb in Platinum.
Grizzius.
It is met at level 70 in Diamond and Pearl, while the other ones were met at 47. This is reversed in Platinum. It is separated by the other members in the group in the Pokedex by Heatran and Regigigas. This is not new. I think Kyurem was also separated out. What that actually means, this is some really dumb Pokemon trivia, but what that literally means is, like, in the Pokedex, like, Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres are all next to each other. But, like, Reshiram, Zekrom, and Kyurem are not next to each other because Kyurem has, like, two Pokemon in between. It's the same for Dialga, Palkia, and Giratina.
Yeah, but Cobalion, Virizion, and Terrakion are all next to each other.
Yeah, they are all next. Mm-hmm. But Keldeo's not next to them.
Ah.
Because Keldeo came later.
Where do we rank the Keldeo
movie? We cannot.
It's middling.
We are going to do a week-long 23 movie marathon. Save it for them.
Okay. Giratina is tied with Lunala, Dawnwings, Necrozma, Shadow Rider, Calyrex of having the highest base stat total of all ghost-type Pokemon. Giratina is tied with Drifblim of having the highest HP base stat of all ghost-type Pokemon. Giratina, in Pokemon Platinum, Giratina is the only Pokemon to come out of above the screen. This trivia is out of control.
Yeah, this is very this
wild.
This trivia is more than most of the rest of the page.
In Pokemon Platinum, when in the Distortion World, it does not have a shadow unless it uses Shadow Force or breaks out of a Pokeball. Giratina is the only legendary Pokemon that can be obtained in all 5 Generation 4 Core Series handheld games.
Wow, there you go. All 5, okay.
So that would be Diamond, Platinum, Pearl, Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Yes.
In Pokemon Heart Gold, Soul Silver, the second frame.
Jeez.
The second frame of Giratina's altered form sprite was changed, but the static sprite remained the same. In Pokemon Platinum, when encountering in the Distortion World the unique message, "This Distortion World's Giratina appeared," is displayed. However, it is still considered a wild Pokemon. In Black 2, White 2, in the battle between legendary Pokemon, Fantina has origin form Giratina without the Grecius orb.
Grizzius. Yeah.
Altered form Giratina is the heaviest ghost-type Pokemon. Origin form Giratina is the tallest ghost-type Pokemon. There you go.
That's a lot.
How's that shiny?
It's good.
The shiny is sweet. The two shuffle icons, because it does have two, are both very good. Although I would argue altered form is much more like, we're going to play? And origin form is definitely judging you real hard.
Hot take, the Distortion World is not great. It's like 3 bad rock puzzles and then you're done.
Okay, most Pokemon puzzles.
But most people aren't being like, man, I love the ice path in Heart Gold, Soul Silver, which is like...
Okay, question of the week. We might have to save this for next week, but which is the worst Pokemon puzzle out there? And I'll give you the answer. The thing where you had to use the 2 types of bikes to get around.
Oh, the Sky Pillar?
That one's pretty bad.
I don't have that
one's pretty bad.
Kind of dexterity and control, sorry.
Worst puzzle. The Giratina puzzle is so easy, though.
I mean, what are we defining as worst? Like, hardest to get past, poorly designed, just
all
too
of it.
Easy?
I like the ice puzzles. I like them a lot. Like, I like the... I like the ice puzzles that you slide and you have to, like, figure out how to slide, right? Because you have no momentum. Mm-hmm. And I like the ice puzzles where when you step on it, it cracks. So you can't double step on it. I'm a fan of both
which,
of those.
Or what about teleport puzzles?
Which gym had
those? Those are
twister?
Bad.
Was it?
Are you thinking Wolfric?
Yeah, Wolfric.
Wolfric's is good.
With the spinny.
Yeah. Those, I would consider those like mechanical puzzles. Because you have to like hit a button to change things.
That's, yes.
Yes. Like Claire's gym and Harkoltzel Silver, also one of those where you have to like step on a button to rotate it and then step on another button to make it go left or right.
All right. This week's Pokemon of the Week.
Okay.
This is not going to be any fun for Greg, unfortunately.
Boo.
Anyone who follows me on Snapchat will know the answer to this week's Pokemon already. But do you know why I am shiny hunting that Pokemon?
I haven't seen you send me a thing in
Okay, fine. You gotta go look at my story and whatever. With the announcement of Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Pokemon Shining Pearl, I have decided to begin creating a shiny Sinnoh regional Pokedex. As is widely known, I prefer to generate my shiny Pokemon the old-fashioned way, through breeding at the Pokemon Nursery in the wild area. Unfortunately, decisions made at the highest levels within the Pokemon organization have impacted my ability to accomplish this from Sinnoh Pokemon number 1, Turtwig. It turns out, only one Pokemon evolution line in regional Pokedex order before a Pokemon evolution line that had been available in an older game appears can be bred using my preferred method. Even worse, if I had started this endeavor prior to June 17th, 2020, I would have had to begin with Magikarp.
Well, that has been our episode. Thank you for listening. This is our last week for our Nintendo Switch Lite giveaway. I think it ends on the 26th of March, if I'm not correct, where this podcast comes out on the 22nd.
I mean, it's your contest. You can pick and choose.
You can end it whenever you want.
It's true. So if you're interested in winning a Nintendo Switch, the details are on my pin on Twitter at PKMNcast, or they'll be in the show notes of the podcast, completely free to enter and stuff like that. I am continuing my Heart Gold, Soul Silver Nuzlocke. We are on our way to the Elite Four, and the plan is to beat the Elite Four this week. So if you are interested in watching the end of that or just hanging out on Twitch, twitch.tv/PKMNcast. Same for Instagram, same for YouTube, same for TikTok, PKMNcast. I did put out a video on Friday talking about if shinies actually matter for games and just the thought process behind that. So like a sample would be like people that are like, oh, if this game doesn't have shiny, this game didn't do well because it didn't have shinies, or I would be interested in this game if it did have shinies, but we can point at games that do exist like Pokemon Masters, which didn't launch with shinies, but they added shinies. So the question is, if you were one of those people saying those two statements, did you run out and play Pokemon Masters when they added shinies? The answer, you probably didn't. I did like a 10-minute video on that if you're interested in that conversation on YouTube. And I think that's it. I think that's our show. Greg is at White Wing on Twitter. Will is at Washed in the Sink on Twitter. I'm at Dragging a Lake. We will be back next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super Golden Crisps are one of the best cereals. We're going to bring it back.
Golden Crisps.
Can't get enough of them Super Golden Crisps.
This podcast is supported and funded by Patreon. If you would like to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. A huge shout out to the producers of our show, Kevin, Steven, Steph, Sean, Bovine, Potato, Patrick, Matthew, Kay, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jetsy, Jessica, Horatio, Courtney, Brian, Brady, and a shout out to our three executive producers of Spencer, Joseph, and Anthony. Thank you so much for your support. If you too would like to support, it's super effective, and join our Slack community and join our Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST, or you can just head over to ISC.cash. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.